This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Welcome to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. What does sustainability mean to your business? Is it something you strive for? Is it something you consciously try to incorporate or emphasize in everything you do? Is it something that you actively work to promote to all your stakeholders in an effort to move the needle from profit to people and planet? Well, for Tata Consultancy Services Malaysia, they tick all the boxes above.
Hi, I'm Jeevan Raju. I'm the country head for Tata Consultancy Malaysia. In Malaysia, Tata Consultancy has been here for the last 13 years. We typically provide digital services to all our customers, be it GLC customers, government agencies, and we employ close to 1,000 people in Malaysia, so a fairly large team in Malaysia. And we've got a huge drive for sustainability in everything that we do in terms of projects, in terms of engagement with our customers. We try to look at it from the angle of sustainability so that we bring back something to the community and to Mother Nature.
Right. Jeevan, thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Sure, it's a great pleasure. And it's been a great pleasure for us to be in Malaysia. We've been operating here for the longest time. And over the last couple of years, we've seen changes in the landscape here in Malaysia. We see a big push in digital awareness, digital engagements from GLCs, from SMEs. And we believe that the way forward under this COVID circumstances would be where organizations would need to repurpose themselves, be resilient, and also they need to be resourceful in terms of combating COVID and also changing their business model to market.
So Jeevan, like you just mentioned, TCS Malaysia is not your average Malaysian business. So, you know, its parent TCS Limited is the second largest company in India by market cap. So before we go any further, maybe you can give us an overview of your organization in Malaysia, you know, why TCS decided to set up shop here and the kind of services that you provide in Malaysia.
Sure. Back 13 years ago, we decided to invest in Malaysia because we saw a huge potential in Malaysia. We saw potential in terms of the infrastructure that it provided companies. We saw a great potential in the talent that we had in the country. And we also felt that the organization and or rather the government was very much in good terms about getting investors to come in and spending money in terms of wanting to grow the landscape as well as also bring digital through fulfillment to a lot of their agencies. So what we saw is given the fact that Malaysia was very much in supportive of FDIs and Tata Group, as a large group in India, decided to invest in Malaysia 13 years ago. We started with maybe 10, 20 people. Today we have 1,000 people. We've provided employment for a lot of Malaysians in this part of the world. And we also have a big ethos about giving back to the community that we serve in whichever country we operate in.
So now, as a business, Jeevan, you know, your core mission is to help organizations with digital transformation of their business. Now, what kind of businesses do you predominantly work with today?
All our clients are typically GLC customers, from the largest oil and gas companies to the largest airline to the largest telcos to the largest banks. These are all customers of ours, and we've got a very, very important role we play with them. We don't want to be a vendor. We want to be a partner of change for them. And what we typically do in most of this engagement is basically push the limits in terms of digitization of a lot of their workplace, digitization of their solutions, and also how they can serve the market and how they can serve their customers better, faster, and quicker.
Maybe you can give us some examples. You don't have to name your clients, but maybe you can give us some examples of the work you do with your partners.
Well, with the largest energy company in Malaysia, we've done what we call a digital spine, where we see end-to-end to find out what is the cost to serve each customer in each segment. What does it mean to the employer, to the organization? Is for the first time ever, they right now know what is the enterprise margin to serve a particular customer, whether it's in Sabah, whether it's in Sarawak, whether it's in Terengganu, or whether it's in Kuala Lumpur. This visibility is something which they took them typically 3 to 4 months to get the integrated margin for the organization. So that is one work that we've done significantly. With another large telco, we've built one of the largest data lake, whereby the telcos are able to see for the first time which are the segment of communities that they are serving and which are the segment of customers are buying data, watching Netflix, watching iFlix, what age groups are using how much of data on a day-to-day basis, so that they can start curating campaigns as well as also getting into hyper-personalization of packages to different segments of their market. So that's the first time they're able to do that for the first. It's not a blanket campaign program, but it's a very targeted, specific to being hyper-personalization to their customer.
Do you work with smaller businesses as well? Have you taken up any projects with Malaysian SMEs?
Unfortunately, no. We've not really gone to the SME market, but we have platforms that cater for the SME. That is one space that we've not, it's a white space for us right now. We've not gone to that space right now.
Right. And I also want to talk about your staff. You mentioned earlier that you have more than 1,000 staff. Are they mostly local hires?
They are 40% are local, 60% are expatriates. We are now trying to push for 50% localization, whereby Malaysian individuals are trained and also brought into programs such a way that they are able to get knowledge transfer from the SMEs that we get from India. And such a way, over the period of time, they now scale up to run large-scale transformation projects in Malaysia.
I'm also curious about how TCS Malaysia is funded. Now, I understand that TCS is operating in like 46 countries around the globe. Specifically for TCS Malaysia, how is it funded, or is it still tied back to the parent company?
Yes, we are owned by TCS Asia Pacific based out of Singapore. We're self-funded, obviously, and we've been very profitable since day one. So there's no question about funding from the parent company, and basically, our parent company is based out of Singapore, which is TCS Asia Pacific.
Now, for the most part, Jeevan, Malaysia has been largely successful in mitigating the spread of COVID-19. At the top of the show, you were talking about how the work that you're doing with your partners during this time is also very important to TCS Malaysia. What role does a company like TCS have during a crisis like the one that we are experiencing today?
One of the few dialogues that we're having with our customers are two things. One is to repurpose the way they go to market, how they can provide much more services to their customer with far little things that they can do, number one. Number two is to bring resilience into the systems that they have right now, which caters for their services, their solutions. For instance, if we can push them to cloud, we get them cloud ready, we get them into a big data environment, such a way that they become much more resilient during this COVID pandemic. What we've also saw is many of the customers are now re-looking at the way they make decisions also. Now, faster decisions are being made right now. Organizations are getting much more flatter. And the agility of business is really been infused in a lot of the engagements that we have with our customers.
And your customers and partners in Malaysia, based on your interactions with them, they've been coping all right with the pandemic?
Yes, some of them have challenges. Some of them have repurposed themselves. Some of them are staying resilient to the cause, to their core business. Some of them have also started to look into other means of getting business, because they said, how do we start being an energy company, but we don't want to sell energy? Can we start doing other things? Can we move into hyper-personalization to the segment of one with the customers that we have? Can we create ecosystems? Because ecosystem play is a big push right now. Can I now, from a telco, provide more bandwidth, but not only bandwidth services, can I provide content services? Can I provide much more enterprise services? So a lot of ecosystem play is also happening. We also noticed that the ability to take risk is also greater right now, because the fact that they realize that the embracing risk is becoming a key in for them providing solutions to their customers.
Now, Jeevan, you make it sound so simple. Your partners and your customers are predominantly GLCs. So at what stage of the process do you come in? Do they reach out to you? Do you reach out to them? I'm just trying to understand how this relationship works between you and your partners.
A lot of our partners that we have relationship runs for more than 5 years, 6 years. And it's not a really, it's a relationship whereby we keep pushing the needle for them and say, what more can we do for you right now? And the conversation typically starts with boardroom dialogues, with C-level dialogues, and say, in this pandemic, what do we need now from a cost optimization, from a solutioning perspective, and also what can we do for your customer more. So it starts with basic dialogue with very senior individuals. And then eventually it gets trickled down into initiatives that they want to push for. And they want to see what is the value that we bring to table and what is the business impact and business outcome they can achieve out of it, number one. Number two is also important for us to see what can we do from a sustainability perspective, because we believe very strongly about sustainability and the SDG goals. So we keep now pushing the envelope about, okay, fine, this is great from a solution perspective, but what does it do for Mother Earth? What does it mean for Mother Earth? Whereby we can we reduce the carbon emission if we do the solution? Can we reduce your supply chain carbon emissions if we put our solutions of such nature? So the conversation not only becomes a digital conversation, it also becomes a sustainable conversation that we have with our customers.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break now for some messages, but when we come back, we discuss Tata Consultancy Malaysia's plan to support a brighter Malaysia. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj. Jeevan Raju, Country Head of Tata Consultancy Malaysia, is online with me right now. And we are discussing the digital services provider's huge drive for sustainability. So Jeevan, before the break, you were talking to us about some of the challenges that your partners and clients are facing because of COVID-19. But what about TCS Malaysia? You know, what has been the biggest challenge for your business during this time?
I think the biggest challenge that we had is we wanted to make sure that all our customers, well-being of our customers is paramount to us. So we always wanted to find ways that we can empathize some of their pain points, especially people in the airline industry, and what more we can do for them. It's a relationship that it means that we're all part of an ecosystem, and whenever times are bad for them, we want to reach out and find ways to help them out, number one. Number two is from an ecosystem play, from an employee perspective, we want to make sure that all our employees as well as our partner employees are well and safe. So we try to find ways where we can enable them to work from home much more efficiently, much more robustly, such a way that we ensure that customers are not compromised in terms of the quality of services that they provide to their customers. We have platforms where we've created to make sure that associates, consultants are able to work from home, ensuring it complies to the data governance, the cybersecurity laws that we have in the country, so that the services that we provide to our customers and the services that our customers provide to their end customers is not compromised. And we've noticed that over the last couple of months, with COVID coming into picture, we've not seen a degradation in terms of service quality. In fact, decision-making has become much more faster, much more robust. And we've seen that the fact that a lot of uncertainty that we had prior to COVID, we've able to address it.
Well, that really bucks the trend, because most client-facing businesses have suffered during this time. So that's interesting to hear.
Absolutely. A lot of our customers have also started to reimagine themselves, because the telcos are saying, what can we do with our customers other than sell bandwidth? The energy companies are asking, what can we do for Mother Earth in terms of sustainability? What can we do for our customers, just not by selling energy, but they should be able to come to us for other solutions, other pain points that they have in their business. So there is obviously a paradigm shift between the portfolio of customers, and they're also looking ways of where they can start having much more intimate relationship with their respective customers.
I'm glad that you mentioned sustainability again. One of the areas that TCS as a whole emphasizes strongly is corporate sustainability. And even your website, it states profit, people, and planet. So maybe you can tell us more about this mission statement and how you're actually enforcing this mission statement with your work with your partners.
Yes. The Tata Group has a very strong ethos about serving the community, whichever country we operate in. 67% of our organization belongs to a philanthropy trust, where we run cancer hospitals, we run Institute of Science, and there's a big ethos about giving back to the community we serve. In fact, we strongly believe that we exist only because of the community. So sustainability has always been part and parcel of Tata Group as well as TCS. So in whichever country we operate in, we always try to see what more we can do for the country that we serve. In Malaysia, for instance, we feed close to 400 homeless people on a monthly basis for the last 5 years. We don't speak about it, but we get our customers to come with us, our partners to come with us to serve the homeless people. Why? Because we believe that we should reach out to the less fortunate community, number one. Number two, we've planted close to 2,000 trees with the school kids in their respective school fields. Why? Because we believe to cut a tree is only a 15-minute job, but to plant a tree and for a kid to see a tree grow in their respective fields, it's something which will touch their heart. And even when they become old as us, when they walk down the school and say, hey, this is the tree I planted many, many years ago, and you see how it's blossomed itself. So planting trees has also been a big initiative to us. Thirdly, we've also embarked with one of our partners, Petronas, to create a program called Seed Lab, whereby we wanted to address the youth unemployment in Malaysia by creating a platform whereby they are able to come and incubate startup ideas. And with the startup ideas, they create social enterprise. And with the social enterprise, they go out there, they create jobs for many other youngsters. So sustainability, as you can see, is weaved into everything that we do in Malaysia.
But how do you influence the stakeholders that you are speaking to, means your customers, your partners, you know, other industry leaders, to make that shift in mindset to build a more sustainable business? It is important to Tata Group and to TCS, but how do you then influence the people that you work with to adopt that same mindset as well?
It's a very good question, Audrey. I think everybody with our customers and our partners, everybody is looking for a sense of purpose. And pushing the needle from profit, people, and the planet is definitely something that everybody has it in their mind and something is very close to their heart. The question is, how do we curate something? How do we get an initiative started whereby we move the needle just not on profits, but we move the needle for the people as well as the planet? And I think a lot of GLCU customers that we have right now are very interested in moving those needles. And they have reached out to us to see how much more we can do together, because they also want to learn from us as much as we are learning from them in the area of sustainability.
Jeevan, I understand that for some time now, TCS has also been an advocate for education and youth in Malaysia, like you mentioned earlier with the Seed Lab initiative. Maybe you can talk to us about some of the programs that you've been working on here, especially to advocate for education and youth and youth in Malaysia.
Sure. We started a program called ILP, which we went to various universities in Malaysia and we said, we want to pick up the guys in your universities, get them fresh graduates, hire them, put them into a comprehensive training program that we call ILP, and whereby we want to get them project ready after 8 weeks, 9 weeks with us in such a way that they have skill sets. One thing we realized that we want to equip them with the relevant soft skill as well as the hard skill, so that when they come out and they start serving our customers, they're well-equipped to look into problems objectively, finding out what is the impact of a particular problem and finding solutions for that. So that's an ILP program that we run. The other program, like I mentioned again, was the Seed Lab program, which we curated together with Petronas. That's a very first of its kind in Malaysia, whereby two large organizations, Petronas and TCS, moving the needle for the youth unemployment in Malaysia. And we've curated this incubator, which is going to result in many startups coming out, which also has an element of social enterprise. It's just not for profit. It's also for people as well as also the planet. And we believe this can be replicated to many other companies. We can be replicated to all public listed companies, whereby if we can move the needle significantly in terms of youth unemployment, we will definitely make a difference. For instance, in TCS Malaysia, we've taken a stand whereby 30% of all our procurement, we want to push it to social enterprise agencies. If we move that needle, 30% of all our purchases to social enterprise agencies out in Malaysia, we are pretty sure we've done something significant in the market space and also for the unfortunate communities that we have in the country.
Now, I want to come back to the initial learning program, the ILP, right? That was launched early this year.
Yes, it was launched early this year. We have close to now 50 students with us right now, and we're planning to recruit more in January, and subsequently every quarter we'll start recruiting more people.
And I guess it must be extra challenging, to say the least, you know, considering the unemployment rates that we've experienced this year with the MCO, the lockdown with COVID-19.
I think we're very bullish about the young guys that who've joined us from various universities. We see great potential in them. We see great future in them. And in fact, they come with a very new sense of agility that we see in them, which we think a lot of our business will need them at some point in time. The challenges that we have with them is typically getting the right talent, getting them really curated from the soft skill perspective, and also getting them ready for a sustainable. I think most of them who come out from universities don't get enough exposure on sustainability. So we try to infuse a lot of sustainability initiatives that we do in Malaysia itself, such a way that when they start having conversations with customer, there's always an angle of sustainability in whatever we do. So that is the biggest challenge that we see, that these fresh graduates coming out. I think the element of sustainability seems to be lacking. But we believe over this ILP program, we're able to infuse sustainability into some of the ethos, and we are able to go to market.
Right. Just before we go, Jeevan, what's the end game for TCS and TCS Malaysia as well? Now, what are your long-term plans? How do you plan to support a brighter Malaysia?
So in the coming years, we believe TCS will keep investing more in Malaysia. We will start doubling our headcount. And subsequently to that, we want to infuse sustainability in all engagements that we have with our customers as well as our employees. We believe that will be our hallmark when we want to be known as a flag bearer for sustainability in Malaysia.
All right. Thank you, Jeevan, for taking the time to speak with us. And if our listeners out there would like to learn more about TCS Malaysia, where can they go?
You can always visit our website, tcs.com. You have enough information about that. But more importantly, we believe that if everyone can move the needle on sustainability in their own respective family, in their respective community, in their respective company, I think this world will be a better place. So we start moving, from profit, we spend much more time on people and spend a bit more time on planet, I think the world will be a happier place.
I've been speaking with Jeevan Raju, Country Head of Tata Consultancy Services Malaysia. Now, if you missed out on any part of this show, the podcast of this interview will be up on our website, bfm.my, within the hour. You can also look for the podcast on the BFM app, on iTunes, and on Spotify. Just search for Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj. Coming up after the 11 a.m. news bulletin is Her Vantage with Frida Liu. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.